This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This is Behind the Rose, where Bachelor Nation meets country music and everything in between. Here's your host, Blake Horstman.
Hey everyone, thanks for joining us for another episode of Behind the Rose. I'm your host, Blake Horstman, joined by my buddy, Eric Bradley.
Hello.
And today we have the four-time CMA nominee for New Artist of the Year, Song of the Year, Musical Event of the Year, and Music Video of the Year, Carly Pierce. Did I miss anything there, Carly?
No, I just was like, can you say it again? No, I'm joking.
Did you save anything for the rest of them?
Oh my gosh, trust me. I still like can't even, that doesn't compute right to me, but I'll take it.
No, it's awesome. I mean, professionally, you're 2020. I mean, professionally, quarantine has been actually pretty good for you.
It has, which I'm really grateful for.
Yeah.
Yeah, very grateful.
I mean, how has it been? How has it changed? I mean, obviously, you know, there's no live concerts or any of that kind of stuff, but how has it changed the way you write music and create the album and your single that just came out, Next Girl? Like, how did that impact? How did quarantine impact all that?
I think for the first time since I've done this professionally, so since 2017, I've had the time to just completely focus on songwriting and focus on music, which is ironic that I say that, because really the whole reason that any of us get to do this on a massive scale is because of the song. It all begins with the song, but I feel like that gets overlooked sometimes just with our touring and just other obligations. So it's been nice to just kind of completely focus on music. And I think it's made me a better artist and a better writer and just like more concise about what I want to say and how I want it to sound.
That's interesting, because I actually was thinking about the other day, how many badass songs and albums are going to come out of quarantine, because so many incredible artists have had time. Like you just talked about, normally you're out on the road, you know, what you do in the concerts, or you're just, you know, doing, because people don't realize how much you have to do as far as like promotions for an album drop, for radio, that kind of thing, where now all these amazing artists have had and songwriters have had time. So I'm looking forward to 2021, because I think there's gonna be some great music coming up.
That's literally the only thing that any of us can control. So I think you're definitely going to hear a lot of music.
And it's been an emotional 2020 for a lot of people. So I think the songs are going to be, they're going to be deep and impactful, and yeah, should be a good year, hopefully, for music coming up. So Next Girl has been crushing it. So that's your new, how long ago did that come out now? There's your new single recently.
Yeah, so I guess also before that, congratulations. It's been a big week for you on that.
Yeah.
Most added single on country radio.
I don't know. I think God's giving me some grace towards the end of 2020. thank you. Yes, it was most added at country radio this week, which was just a really, people have been asking me, how do you feel about that? And for me, this is my fifth single, and it feels like radio respects me. Like they respect what I do and they feel like it's needed, and that's a really great thing, and I'm grateful for that. And it's been out, I guess, less than a month to all of the platforms, but okay. Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's a huge deal in country music radio. Yeah, that's an awesome thing. So Next Girl, where did you get kind of, I like the song a lot because it throws me back to like the 90s country, which is what I obviously grew up on. Yeah, is that what you're going for?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, it had like a 90s feel to it, which I loved. So what was like your inspiration for that song? What kind of inspired you to make that song?
Well, it's kind of been a lot of things. A lot of people, I'm sure, have seen, if you follow me at all on social media, you know that my producer Busby passed away a year ago this week, of brain cancer at the age of 43. And after that happened, we went into quarantine. And as an artist, kind of when your song, so I had I Hope You're Happy Now with Lee Bryce, and it was like at 15 at country radio, and my team was kind of like, what are you feeling like next? What are you feeling like? And what I feel like Busby did so well with I Hope You're Happy Now is he really captured that 90s sound in the way that I wanted to be represented. I have no desire to go outside of country music. Country music is my heart, like Grand Ole Opry, all that stuff, Dolly Parton, the whole thing. And so I wanted to make sure whatever I can, I felt like it was like a crucial moment for me coming off such a big song where I went as far as to follow it up. So I took the first part of quarantine to kind of grieve the fact that I wasn't going to get to work with Busby anymore and kind of almost grieve that I needed to close that chapter and kind of start fresh. And so I started listening to all the records that made me want to move to Nashville, which were Patti Loveless, Faith, Trisha, the Judds, Sarah Evans, Martina, just that era of country music. And I had a write scheduled with Shane McAnally and Josh Osborne over Zoom because that's how we do everything right now. And Busby was a pop producer from the Bay Area, and I think that I took him as far country as he was ever going to go with I Hope You're Happy Now. But the difference with Shane and Josh was they love 90s female country like I do. And I came in with the idea of Next Girl, just kind of really wanting to write an anthem for girls of kind of almost like, even if women were older than me, just kind of like as the big sister of like, don't fall for this. Mm-hmm. And Blame It on Your Heart, Patti Loveless was such a big song for me growing up. And I kind of wanted to take the elements of that song I love so much and kind of make my own version of that. So that's kind of where Next Girl came from.
Yeah, I definitely, the lyrics in that song are almost like, that's a good way to put it, actually, like a big sister type, like, you know, helping out like the other girls, you know, and stuff. And that's pretty cool. You know, was there a relationship in mind that when you wrote the song that, you know, you kind of had when you wrote it? Or is it just experience throughout your whole life as far as men?
I mean, I've been through this scenario quite a few times in my life. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody that knows me or knows my music would say that I don't write what's true to me. So I don't know how to not. And it's something that I think all girls go through. My girlfriends have gone through it. I clearly have seen so many people tell me, oh my gosh, this is the song that I needed. Oh my gosh, where was this song 5 years ago? Oh my God, I need to send this to my girlfriend. Not my girlfriend, that would be weird, but like a friend that's a girl, not a guy being like, I need to send this to my girlfriend. I suck.
Nick Boy, but, you
know? Yeah, exactly.
This is the song when the women meet Blake.
Hey, my red flags aren't hidden. Mine are out there.
He's got a red hat on.
Yeah, he wears it proudly.
Yes, it's real experience.
Yeah. Well, and like you just kind of talked about, I bet it's incredibly relatable for a lot, especially a lot of young women out there right now in the dating world. So yeah, I bet that feels pretty good when you kind of have somebody reach out and be like, this song's gotten me through like a really hard part of my life.
It oddly is therapy for me as well, because these are coming from real experiences of myself, and being able to have somebody else, like they're looking at me going, oh my gosh, she's been there too. But I'm actually looking at them and being like, oh my gosh, they've been there too. So it's kind of a cool thing.
That's true. Yeah. It does help when you know, like somebody else has been through it and they can get through it. Yeah. That means you can get through it kind of thing. Totally.
I get that.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about what inspired you for Next Girl, a lot of the like original musicians, especially female musicians, sounds like that brought you to Nashville. What was the reason you got into music? Was it something that you started when you were super young and you just knew it was something you wanted to do, or did it come later in life? How was that, starting out?
This is going to sound like the most cliche answer. Truth. My parents tell me that I was singing before I could talk, and really? They were like home VHS tapes of me telling my parents, like singing on the mantle, being like, I'm going to sing on the Grand Ole Opry. And I'm like five. I think it's like my biggest blessing and my biggest curse. Thank God it worked out. But I never knew a day that I didn't want to do this. When I was growing up in Kentucky, everybody knew me as, you know, I was involved in school and loved school, but I was the singer. I was like singing country music when it really wasn't that cool to do. And just always knew that that's what I wanted to do.
That's amazing. I always wish I was kind of like that, where I knew from a young age, you know, of like what I wanted to do. Cause I think you're right. It is a bit of a blessing and a curse, because that's all you care about. And that's all, you know, it's like, I hope this works out, because I have no backup plan, which I'm sure you've felt multiple times in your life.
Yeah. When I was cleaning air and was a backup singer, it's great.
So yeah, exactly. Like,
oh, yeah. But.
Well, it's worked out for you, Carly. So I want to see those home videos, by the way. I want you to post those. You got to post.
I told my parents, I was like, somebody needs to get me one of those videos, because that would be hilarious just to see it.
Yeah. My grandma was one of those people who always had a camera on her, like, you know, one of those huge cameras. She always had it. And there are some videos of me when I was young, like dancing to like Grease Lightning when I was like 5 years old in the living room and stuff. I need to find those too.
You need to post those.
I know. Maybe I will one of these days. That's awesome though that you are living your dream right now.
Yeah. I mean, I quit high school when I was 16 because I saw an audition to sing in the country show at Dollywood. Have you ever been to Dollywood?
No.
No.
Dolly Parton theme park, Dolly Parton, coolest place on earth. and I sang in the country show and finished school in between shows at Dollywood. And then I moved to Nashville. So when I say like my life goal was to be an artist, it really was. I mean, I really just never knew a day that I didn't want to do it. There were days when I thought this may not happen, but there was never a day that I didn't want it to happen.
Wow, that's incredible. So what was your big break? Like was there a moment in your career where I always hear those stories about like one person was in the crowd and saw me sing at a bar. Did you have one of those moments?
So 2016, I'm playing music for, I had a record deal when I first moved to Nashville with Sony, and it ended up my A&R person got fired at the label. And I immediately watched Nashville kind of go from like thinking I was an it girl, like the next thing, to not returning emails. And so I, over the next few years, was like a backup singer for Lucy Hale, Pretty Little Liar star. I cleaned Airbnbs. I did all these different things and was still taking meetings and kind of was like the girl. I had people tell me literally, like, you should probably move home. I mean, seriously, wow. People in the industry. And so I had this meeting. I had my producer, Busby. We had cut four songs that we were kind of like into the Grand Ole Opry, Spotify, SiriusXM, The Highway, and CMT. And they were going to kind of come together to launch a song on me. And so we were playing the music for them. And everybody kind of like was gung-ho on this one song that actually was the one song I didn't write. It was an up-tempo because that's what you're supposed to do as a new artist, especially as a female at this point. And the one person that we really needed was the radio aspect, which was J.R. Schumann, who works at SiriusXM The Highway. And he wasn't returning emails after the meeting. And we were all like, hello, like we really need you to launch this. And to make a really long story short, he sent me a private email and he was like, I like that song, but every little thing, because that was, every little thing was one of the songs in this bunch, but like it was the slowest song I'd ever written. It was like Slit Your Wrist, Heartbreak Ballad that I wrote more for myself. Mm-hmm. So he was like, every little thing is an absolute monster. I'm going to put it on the highway. And I was like, hold the phone. I thought this was my big break. And I'm like, you're messing it up because you're not following suit with everybody else. And I was so pissed off. I was like crying. I was mad at him. And I was just like, you can't do this. Like every little thing is like career suicide before it even starts. And he's like, no, I'm going to do it. So I go in, we launch every little thing. The rest of my team was like, just go along with it because then when this one fails, we'll go ahead and have him like at least in our back pocket of like, we gave you this opportunity, now do our plan. So he literally looked at me, and this is not a like fabricated story. He looked at me and he goes, are you ready for this song to change your life? And I was like,
wow,
sure. So he puts it on the air. I drive in my car and I go to dinner. So it was like a 20-minute drive. I go to dinner, I sit down, and I have a direct message on Instagram from the senior A&R of Big Machine Records. Her name's Allison Jones. And she said, I need you to call me in the morning. You found your 3 minutes. And I was like, huh? And literally it broke. I think the only highway find that has ever, which a highway find is an unsigned artist that kind of gets found by SiriusXM The Highway. The only highway find that broke the record more than I did was Cruise FGL. Mm. But it was like number one on iTunes. I was outselling record deals. I was outselling like it. When I tell you, like, I went from one day truly thinking I was going to have to move back to Kentucky to literally like everyone being like, we want to sign you. It was the moment, like you hear about those moments of like one thing changes everything. And like, I had one song that literally changed everything. And a lot of artists are like, I want to get a record deal. I want to get a record deal. I need a record deal. And I'm here to tell you, I have so many friends that got signed before me at record labels that still haven't put music out. But if you do the work on the front end and you find something, like I had a song that was already working. So I got a record deal super fast. I got a better record deal and they pushed me out the door immediately. I bypassed the line at the record label because I had a song that was working. So sometimes things work out the way they're supposed to.
Hey guys, real quick, I want to talk to you about Care of vitamins and supplements. I've been taking these vitamins lately, and I don't know about you guys, but when I go to the store, you walk down an aisle and there are different vitamins and supplements and all kinds of things, and it can be really confusing. So the cool thing about Care of is it's hassle-free vitamins and supplements delivered straight to you. So your recommendations come in daily, individually wrapped packets that are perfect for getting back into a routine. You go online, you take a 5-minute quiz. It asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help address your specific wellness goals. So for me, when I went online and did this quiz, basically it said that I don't take enough dairy, so I have to take some calcium plus vitamins. I don't get enough fruit in my diet, so I have to take some B complex vitamins. And then also it says for me, the best kind of protein would be the plant-based protein. So I would get the plant-based protein in the mail, as well as my B complex and calcium vitamins, all individually wrapped for me each day. Care of products are formulated with good for you, clean ingredients that are backed by science. Care of is super transparent about the research and sourcing behind every one of their products with extensive info available on their websites and fun, informative content on their social pages. So if you want to get some Care of vitamins delivered straight to you for 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code BlakeH50. That's 50% off with code BlakeH50. Go get you some Care of vitamins and supplements now. All right, now back to the pod. So let's talk about I Hope You're Happy Now, because that also was an incredible moment for you in 2020. You wrote that one with Lee Bryce, right?
I actually wrote it with Luke Combs. And then I stopped Lee Bryce and convinced. No, I'm joking.
do what you got to do, Carly.
Stop to leave Bryce. No, so I wrote it with Luke Combs and he sang the demo with me and I knew that I wanted it to be a single. It was my personal story of needing to apologize to someone that I thought I loved. And I think in relationships, sometimes we confuse comfort and being in love. And I told this person long after I should have told them that I didn't love them anymore. And so it was kind of like Luke and I writing this song with almost as if Luke was my ex-boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And when the song was done, I knew that that was the story that I wanted to be out. And I knew it was the sound that I wanted to be out. But Luke was in the middle of like launching his new album. And I just quite honestly didn't want to wait on him to see if I could get a single with Luke. And so I, with his permission, called Lee Bryce and I was like, hey, I don't know you. But I really think you're great. And I knew that very few guys could pull this song off. I mean, the vocal is crazy for a dude. And he is such a great songwriter in his own right. So I was kind of like, don't know if you're going to like this, but here you go. And he immediately hit me back and he was like, I'm in. And within 3 days, he had it recorded. And it's like, every little thing was so big for me. But then like to see how much bigger a song could be with I Hope You're Happy Now, it's like, oh, wow. Okay. This is like, this was a career changing song for me.
Yeah. You're so right about Lee Bryce. I remember I saw him years ago live at like a little bar in Nebraska, and that dude's vocals are incredible. That man can sing.
You know what's cool is like he had Rumor. That was like, I feel like he's been so underrated, and he had Rumor right when we were kind of like stalking him. And then so he had Rumor, which was number one. Then he had I Hope You're Happy Now, that was number one. And right now he is the number one song with one of them girls. Like, he's killing. He's crushing. And I like to think that I helped with that. You're welcome, Lee Bryce.
It owes everything to you, Carly.
Yeah, it's not because of it.
Yeah, professionally, 2020 has been amazing. But you've had a lot of ups and downs in 2020. And I know that you're a fan of the show. So you saw kind of what I went through this summer and everything mentally. How have you gotten through 2020? Because like I love talking about mental health and kind of dealing with anxiety and stress and pressure. And you've obviously seen a lot of that this year. What advice would you give, or kind of what do you do to get through, your downs?
Man, it's hard to go through things publicly, you know. Yes. I feel so lucky that I wasn't jumping on stage every night while I was going through everything that I've had to go through. I quite honestly am not really sure I could have done it. I think the biggest thing that I've learned is, number one, how strong I am. I don't even think that I knew. And to trust your intuition and to understand that life is not meant to be easy. And for me, like, this is the first time in my life that I almost feel like God went, hey, I'm going to teach you something, but I'm going to take everything out of your life that you could suppress how you actually feel. So for me, being on stage and work is kind of like a way that I cannot deal with emotions and deal with things that are going on in my life that maybe are negative, and just kind of tap into Carly Pierce. Because sometimes I feel like she's like the best version of me. And this year I didn't have her, and I had to really like grieve. And I think that's been like really good for me. And I encourage people, drugs, alcohol, sex, your work, like so many things can be suppressants or addictions that just numb you. And you're going to be better if you just feel. And I think that's been like the biggest thing for me is like, I've just had to feel it all.
Yeah. A band-aid basically, like you could have used your stage as more of a band-aid rather than a cure, if you will. So yeah. I get that. Yeah. That's an interesting way to look at it. Kind of quarantine's almost been a bit of a blessing, for you as far as like finding yourself and kind of healing and everything.
Yeah. And being able to kind of do it just with like the people that love me and not for the whole, I mean, look, people are brutal. I read it. I see it. Nobody knows really the truth, but you so much are like, oh my God, like, no, that's not it. Or wait, they said this or they did this. And you just have to accept that, you know, your truth, you know, the truth, you have people that love you. And I'm just grateful that I didn't have to have those eyes. I feel like when we go back on stage, I'm so strong right now and ready for that. And because I've processed that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely think when you get back out there, like you said, like 4 or 5 months ago, had you had to try and act like, you know, be on almost as Carly Pierce, that would have been a hard, difficult thing to do.
I think you would have seen Carly Pierce cracks.
But yeah, bait headlines. Carly Pierce cracks. And I agree. Like, you see things out there, and I think a lot of people, you know, when you go through something publicly, you see, even if you try not to, like, you see the comments, you see the articles, you see the strangers. And I've had to catch myself, like, why do I care what these people think? You know, like, why am I caring so much about these strangers? But it does get to you. And, you know, no matter what you do, you kind of gotta push through.
It's hard. It's really hard. I underestimated, obviously I knew before everybody knew that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of like, all right, whatever. And then it was like, oh, wow. Okay. And I mean, I'm very open about this. Like, I started therapy this year for the first time, and it's like been a game changer for me, and just really making sure that I am okay. Cause this was a big one. This was big, and unexpected, and just, wanted to make sure. I encourage people to work on their mental health and, just make sure that your mind is in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything kind of follows from there. You know, if you're not right in the mind and you don't feel like yourself, everything else around you deteriorates and everything else kind of comes crashing down. So
totally.
Props to you on coming out of this stronger than you probably were before.
That's totally. Okay. I mean, in a roundabout way, grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In That's a weird way, right? In a weird way, yeah. Grateful. Yeah.
A little weird. It's a little weird. Yeah. But
Yeah. So when you're out doing your job, obviously you're successful. You're a very successful country artist. What do you want your legacy to be? Is it through your music or is it something else maybe that people don't know? What do you want your legacy to be at the end of all this?
I look at Dolly. I look at Reba. I look at, honestly, Carrie. And I feel like what those three women really represent, Trisha Yearwood, I would put her in there. They represent strong women, really amazing artists, amazing, like their branding and their who they are outside of even country music, but also just their true passion for country music and how they've never really gone outside of the genre and really just pay tribute. Even watching Carrie at the ACMs, I don't know if you guys watched her do the tribute to all the ladies of country music on the Grand Ole Opry stage. Like that, I tweeted, I was like, that is like my goal, to be the next generation of what she has done for country music and for the Grand Ole Opry and just for the community. And I think I want people to say I was real, to say that I made music that mattered, to say that I was true to country music and that I made a difference and really helped preserve our genre.
Yeah, it's kind of surprises me how much you want to stay country music, because I think that has changed a little bit in this industry as far as some people be like, I'll play whatever the hell you want me to play if you know gets me the number one spot or whatever, where you're very much want to stay as a country artist and in that country music genre.
Yeah. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Some of my best friends have had like massive, I mean, like Maren had one of the most massive songs in the whole world, but she's not saying that she wants to stay in country. Like everybody has a different way of doing things. And I think some people it's pieces of country, some people it's some country, but also are open to the collaborations. I mean, there's plenty of other people that are, for me, I got into this to make country music and that's what I want to do. I want to go down. I'll take the slow and steady wins the race, versus maybe a quicker climb. And not to say that people are getting quick, you know what I'm saying? Just for my, but I want people to know that I want to sing country music. That's just really what I love. That's why I moved here.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. So what do you have coming up, Carly? I know you obviously have a lot that you've been working on in quarantine. So kind of what's next for you?
I've recorded a lot of music. I definitely think that we will at least drop one more song, by the end of the year. We're trying to actually, like, literally as of today, trying to figure out what song that's going to be. I think I'm on a project. It's been interesting. I put out an album in February, but I just kind of like let that go and forward. So I'm not really sure if it's an EP. I don't know if it's a full record. But really focused on Next Girl and focused on just like chapter of music for me, and get to play the Grand Ole Opry in a few weeks. And
I saw that. What is that, October 1st?
October 10th. They're going to have 500 people in the audience, which will be the most people I've played in front of since March. and I get to debut Next Girl, which I'm excited about. And just working on music and hoping and praying that we're back on stage, you know, next year. I mean, I feel good about at least some shows, but just continuing to write and make sure that whatever this project is, that it's the best that it could be. And I think I'm going to write the whole thing.
There you go. From like, you know, I guess an insider's perspective, are shows being booked out, you know, in like 2021 as of now, and we'll see what happens kind of thing?
They are being booked. They're also being postponed to later in the year. But I'm optimistic that we'll play something. I don't think we're going to be, just from what I can see, I don't really know that we'll be back to normal for a minute, but I definitely think that hopefully we'll be able to play at least some shows here and there that are, you know, guideline friendly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Grand Ole Opry, that's pretty cool. 500 people. That's so funny. That is a big deal now, you know?
I'm like, oh my God, this is great.
When was the last time you were in Denver? I feel like, was it when I met you at Fiddler's, I believe.
The last time it was probably Jason and Kane's tour.
Yeah.
Last summer.
It was. That not insane? I think it was last July.
Yeah, because I was trying to think, like, because obviously we've partnered up with the Grizzly Rose for this podcast. I was like, I don't even know if Carly ever played, because a lot of times when you come here, you'd been like a support act on the bigger tours.
So I have not played or been to the Grizzly Rose since I toured with the Josh Abbott Band and had the single.
Oh, that's right. Jab. That's yep. Right.
Oh. So when I had Wasn't That Drunk out with them, I loved the Grizzly Rose. Like I wanted to play there.
Well, you guys are going to be our first guest in December.
December.
Then it got pushed back. And then again in March, and then obviously COVID hit.
Yeah. I know. I think we were supposed to play it in April, like the first of April. It's so crazy.
So depressing to think about. 2020 could have been.
I know. It's going to happen again.
2020 was supposed to be so good to all of us.
I know. It was.
Well, it's been great to you.
Yeah. It's been, I mean, you've had
it has.
Yes.
I'll take it.
Yeah. I'll say, I looked back at my, like, you know, everybody posts like a New Year's Eve post. And I was like, I had my hands in the air. I was like, 2020, like, here I come. And it just
me too.
Crash and burn.
30, here I come.
Right. Yeah.
2021 will be our year.
Yeah. It doesn't really, you know, we can only go up from here, guys.
Right. That we're true. At rock bottom. So there's nowhere else to go.
That is true.
Maybe switching angles here, because obviously we're all watching Dancing with the Stars, supporting our homegirl, Caitlin. Have you guys been having some watch parties down there in Nashville?
We have like a little girl group that we all get dinner, and Caitlin is obviously a part of that. And so we did, we had one hangover at my house, and we didn't last week, but we are again. And it's awesome. We're so proud of her. I mean, when she first told me that she was going to be on the show, I just kind of looked at her and I was like, oh, you're going to win. Like, you're going to win. Duh. I have no doubt. And obviously I'm so upset that she's having trouble. I can't even imagine what the Lauren Elena told me, some of just the hours that go into all of that. And I can't imagine, but she's going to push through. She's a fighter. We all know this. She's going to win.
Yeah. I'll say, I mean, the ankle. Yeah. So she is living, like, she's living her dream. She's literally, she talked about it, I think, one of the episodes. She's like, I've been dancing. So I gave it up, but I always had hopes, and here she is. And the ankle injury hurts, but I tell you what, she's killing it right now. She had 2 8s.
I was like laughing, because I'm like, nobody would ever know that you're hurt.
No. And she's been doing so much therapy. Yeah. Like, she's hurt. You know what I mean? Like, I've been watching her stories and stuff. Like, she's hurt. You know, it's not a TV thing.
Yeah, I remember, like, the first couple of, like, I think it was, like, her first 2 weeks of rehearsal. And we're on, like, a chat. And I was like, how are you doing? And she just sent us a photo of her, like, foot and knee, like, wrapped up in bed. And I'm like, oh shit. Like, that's not great. That's not good. You're going to be fine. You're good.
Yeah. Keep hyping her up. Yeah.
I'm like, yes, you got this. It's fine.
You know, Jason's getting her every bit of treatment that she needs. He is that guy.
God, he's so sweet with her. I can't.
Yeah. He's such a good guy.
Yeah. Where I'm going, I think we're going to go out there, I think, in 2 weeks, and hopefully at least see Jason. I don't know what the COVID rules are for Caitlin, but so it'll be cool. It'd be cool to see all them. So,
yes.
Yeah. So, Carly, where can people find you? Online, social media, all that fun stuff.
Let's see. At Carly Pierce on Twitter and Instagram. Carly Pierce Official on TikTok. I'm trying to be there.
I'm going to have to search that out. I love people looking at people's TikToks.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. I feel like the old, like the mom that's like, yeah, I can dance. I got this. But,
well, and now it's officially not going to get banned. So I was like, damn, I need to re-download it. I like deleted it thinking I was going to get banned.
I know, I did too, and everybody's like, it's not going to last. I'm like, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was kind of excited. I was like, yes, because I don't feel like I fit in on TikTok.
I don't either. It's pressure. Well,
you're a walking thirst trap, Blake. You could do it.
But I don't post. I am a thirst trap, but I don't post thirst traps.
Thirst trap.
Oh, man.
Blake's a next girl guy. I can feel it.
Yeah, hopefully Stagecoach comes next year, but I don't think it'll be.
he needs a comeback story next summer.
Oh god. Oh no. Yeah. So, well, thanks, Carly. I appreciate you coming on. It was great.
Oh my gosh, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for making
it. Yeah, congrats on all the success. Keep killing it. It's fun watching you.
Thank you.
We'll have to have you maybe on some of these Bachelor recaps.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Have me
That's
on.
A good idea.
If you ever want to be a special guest?
Yeah, are we're going to do.
And break down some episodes.
I am like, I'm so in. Tell me.
Yes. And this season's going to be a shit show. So.
I can't wait.
Oh my God, that'd be fun.
We can just get drunk and break down an episode.
That sounds amazing. Actually, yeah, we're gonna do Wednesdays. Yeah. We're gonna do some recaps. So we'll get you on one of them. That'd be fun.
Sign me up. Text me.
Good. Good. All right. Thanks again, Carly.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Be sure to follow our Instagram at Behind the Rose Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, comment, like, and give us all 5 of those damn stars. Behind the Rose is recorded on site at the world famous Grizzly Rose or wherever we happen to be. See you next time, Behind the Rose.